Brief word of prayer before we begin. Our blessed God and Father, we thank Thee for every gift which Thou hast given to us. We thank Thee that Thou knewest our need, and Thou didst send Thy Son, and Thou wilt with Him freely give us all things. Assured of this, then, our God and Father, we look to Thee, that Thou wouldst open Thy Word, and that we would receive it as from Thyself. So we look for the showers of blessing and desire to receive them by the Holy Spirit, and more than this, live in the light of them. We ask these things as we seek Thy help in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We began with the roasted lamb. Food for us, the believer, while we are here in this world, and it points us to be ready to march. But while we're marching, He provides also food for us, the manna, so that the flesh might be put in the place where it ought to be. And as we come into the land, there is the old corn of the land, Christ in glory. But while we are going through the wilderness, there is still another provision that He has, and that is the food of the priests. And we know who the priests were. The priests were the family of Aaron. And these functioned before the Lord in the sanctuary. They functioned also at the brazen altar. They worked in the, they washed in the laver of brass, and the high priest went into the holy place once a year. And we have been taught from the Word of God that whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The priest's food is also available for us today. I want you to turn then to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. First Corinthians 9:13 says, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. "Be therefore followers of God as their children, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Finally, Matthew 18 and verse 20. Matthew 18 and verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them." God, who established the priesthood, also determined what the food of the priest should be. He provided this food in the wilderness for them. He provided food for the priests, and by it they were strengthened to do the work that He had for them to do. We're really what we eat. And I was so thankful to hear Brother Tony make that point, that we are what we eat. That's why the nutritionists are having a field day nowadays with all this fast food and the results of it. But we want to point out this afternoon something that you already know, that all believers are priests. Every one of us whether male or female, as a believer, you are a priest. Now, when it comes to the children of Aaron, there were priests by birth. As long as you belong to the family of Aaron, you were a priest. You belong to the priestly family, and because of this, the food that was available to the priest was available to you. And I know that in many places, sisters among us are called, dumb dogs. You just sit, you have nothing to do. You can only say amen. And sometimes, many of us have the difficulty of explaining to them what the scripture says. But please do not sit and say, okay, the brothers are going to function, they are the priests. Oh no. All believers are priests. A priest is thus made by birth into the family of priests. 1 Peter chapter 1. When it comes to the believer, this is plainly put before us, and we have to hold on to it, that every believer, as long as you're born again, born in Christ, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have received the salvation, you are a priest. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruption, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God abides forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And that word is the word by which you have been saved. And when we come to chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, and chosen of God and precious, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So here we have it. As the priests were born into the family of Aaron, so be each of us who is born again, who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are born again by the word of God. By that word you are nourished to be useful in priesthood for him. Brother and sister, take it from the word of God. You are a priest unto God. Amen. And because you're a priest, you're expected to eat priestly food. You can't nourish your priesthood function without priestly food. The children of Aaron knew this, and we come in a good day. And we have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit, but they learned it from the word of God. And we too have to hold on to the word of God and go by the word of God, because he says, ye are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. In this priesthood then, because we are what we eat, we're going to see what it is that God has provided for the children of Aaron and see how it fits us in a spiritual way today. Turn to Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. We want not only to see that what they ate, but also where they ate it, because this is important. Leviticus chapter 2, the first thing that the priests shared was the meal offering. The meal offering, Leviticus 2 verse 2, shall bring it to Aaron's son, the priest, and he shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, and with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. So here is the first thing that we have brought, the meal offering, made of fine flour. Made of fine flour. And this fine flour tells us of the life of the Lord Jesus. Nothing coarse about his life. His voice shall not be heard in the street, the scripture says. Neither will he lift up his voice. So we see a person whose life is completely even, totally fine flour, nothing coarse or rude about it. But this life culminated in death. Now that's the fine flour brought and burnt on the altar before God. Something for God to enjoy. Not only did God enjoy the life of the Lord Jesus here on earth, but he took pleasure in his death. The Lord gave glory to God in his death as well. So that fine flour, a life here fully used for God, fully available to God, and culminating in death, bringing glory to God. That fine flour, the priest took a handful, as much as he could hold. Now some priests' hands are bigger than others. So a handful for priest X might be different from a more or less than a handful for priest Y. But here's what is so beautiful about this. All of the frankincense was put in that with that handful on the altar. All the frankincense. If it was a small handful or a big handful, all the frankincense was put there. The oil was either mingled or poured upon. And the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Mingle reminds us of the birth of the Lord Jesus. That holy thing which shall be born of thee. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee. And the power of the Most High shall come upon thee. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest, conceived by the Holy Ghost. But then you said, oil poured upon. Here we read in Matthew chapter 3, I think it's verse 17, the Spirit of God descended as a dove and lit on it. So we have oil poured upon, the Holy Spirit descending, or oil mingled, conceived of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the frankincense tells us of all the preciousness that he is to God. And only God can appreciate this. Because no man was to make frankincense or to make incense and put it on himself. It is holy and totally for God. Therefore, when the priest offered to the Lord from that meal offering, he offered all that he has appropriated, all that he took possession of. That's the expression. All that he took possession of. The oil and all the frankincense. God's pleasure in him. He offered that on the altar. Then what was left? Thank you. I know there's a place called Second Cup. So all the frankincense was given to God on that handful that he appropriated. Dear brother and sister, and I want to apply this to when we come before the Lord. Everybody must have something to offer. Amen. Every priest must have something to offer. We cannot sit down and say, okay, I know brother so-and-so is going to pray and he's going to be 20 minutes. And brother so-and-so is going to give out a long hymn, and that's another 5 minutes. And brother X is going to give another long prayer, and then someone will break the bread. You know, I know that. As youngsters, we used to time the brothers. Every one of us must have something to offer. Every one of us is expected to bring our basket full. We can't say, oh, the brothers are responsible for that. And even if we are young men, oh, I'm not going to give thanks, you know. They expect me to dot the I exactly above that I, the long shaft. And if I deviate so to the right, I'm going to be hammered. And if I deviate to the left and I cross my T's, the bars must be of equal length on either side. Nothing of the kind. A piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, God accepts it. Amen. So don't let us sit down in the pew and say, the brothers will do that. Old brother so-and-so is going to do that. Old brother so-and-so is going to do this. I'm fine. Every person has his basket full. And let me say this. The brothers are expected to function publicly. Publicly. Give that handful on the altar. And if you have been brought into the good of it, you can say amen. You can say amen. Let's say that it's something that you're contemplating, someone gives out a hymn that you've been thinking of. You can say amen. You can sing with the spirit and the understanding. This is what God desires of his priests. We can't be all speaking at the same time. That's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. But we can all say amen. We can all enjoy what is given. That is your handful. Now, it could be baked in an oven. It could be done in a fire pan, or it can be done in a cauldron. All of these speaks of the various sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And we are given the opportunity by the Spirit of God to enter into, in some way, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Those that were done openly, those that were hidden in the oven. All of these we have an opportunity to come into. And God desires us to be able to say amen. Now, where did the priests eat of the meal offering? They ate of the meal offering in the holy place. And for us, that represents in the presence of God. That's why I read Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. In our very presence is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we eat of that meal offering in his presence. But then there was also the peace offering. The remainder of that meal offering, let me just finish with this. It was for Aaron and his sons. Food for each believer. Food for each priest. How are you eating? How am I eating? May I ask, what am I eating? I remember hearing of a situation where this person visited another country and was in the home of a brother and realized that he was looking on whatsforthissunday.com to provide for, there was he on his computer, whatsforthissunday.com, provide for the saints. Dear brethren, God has given us his word. And as David said, I cannot go with these because I haven't proved them. Saul's armor. What he gives to you is what is for you. And it should be available to be shared with others. Not what he has given to somebody, you borrow it because you know what happens. The axe head falls off. Then you have to go to the Lord to get it put back on. Peace offering. Chapter 3 of Leviticus. This was a thank offering. The blood of it was for God. It was put on the altar. The fat was for God. That was burned on the altar. For God only. And the blood speaks of the atonement. Only the Lord Jesus has done this. And the fat speaks of the energy of Christ. That is for God and for God only. But the remainder was food for Aaron and his sons. Chapter 7 and verse 15 and 16 tells us this. Peace offering. Thank offering. We are told, giving thanks unto his name. We have that privilege to enjoy what God is enjoying of his son. We come to another offering. We come to the wave breast. And if we turn to Leviticus chapter 7, and verse 30, just for brevity. Verse 28. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring of the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, and it he shall bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. The peace offering, and I just want to make this point, the peace offering, his own hands brought it. What does that mean? He is not a passive spectator in this matter. He brought it to the priest, his own hands. But then we speak of the wave breast. The wave breast was for a wave offering before the Lord. Now, just a number of years ago, while we were in Nassau, I was invited someplace, and they were singing, Who Started the Waving Thing? And I was a little bit puzzled. And then it dawned on me that they were referring to the wave offering. And everyone had a handkerchief or something in their hands, waving. Dear brethren, that's not what the Lord was referring to. The wave breast brings before us that what the breast stands for, the affections, the love of the Lord Jesus. And this is brought before the Lord in the picture of the breast and waved before him that he may enjoy it. But then, after God had his portion, the wave breast was made available for the priest to enjoy also the love of the Lord Jesus. Now, as priests before God, we have the opportunity to wave, so to speak, the love of God, love of the Lord Jesus before God. Therefore, he says, that the world may know. He puts it up before them, that the world may know that I love the Father. As he has given me commandment, even so do I. And in picture language, in Exodus chapter 21, you read of that Hebrew servant, he says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. He made it clear to his master, I am not going out free. I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. I'll be a servant forever. Now this is the love that we bring before God the Father, expressing what Christ is to him. And we enjoy that as well. We know the hymn number 88, I think it is. O blessed Savior, is thy love so vast, so full, so free? Fain would we have our thoughts, our hearts, our life engage with thee. That is it. Engage with the love of the Lord Jesus. He says in Ephesians, and let me turn to it, and because I know I'm going to misquote it. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. This is his prayer. This is Paul's prayer. That you may know the love of Christ. Yeah. Know the love of Christ. And then he tells us a passive knowledge. Was Paul missing something there? No. He's telling us that we may know the love of Christ. He doesn't say that you will know all of it. But there's nothing started now preventing us from starting now. And I'm telling you, we have all eternity to explore the depths of what he meant when he said that the world may know that I love the Father. That we have all eternity to understand somewhat of what it meant. I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free. And you know what? He became a servant forever. Forever the Lord Jesus is the man in the glory. We would be able to fathom somewhat of the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. He didn't say that you'll have all the fullness of God, but you'll be filled with it. Dear brother and sister, this is God's desire for us. And he tells us we are priests. We are brought into the sanctuary, not only to feed on Christ, not only to present Christ before God, but also to have fellowship with the Father and the Son, because that's our place in the sanctuary. Yeah. Too often, We think that when we come in here, we're in the sanctuary. I got news for you, brother. When you're home in your bed, you're in the sanctuary. When you're at work, you're in the sanctuary. So you notice how careful your behavior has to be. Because where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. You carry the presence of the Lord Jesus with you. I remember some years ago hearing Brother Mayhew say to someone, he said, I went to the cinema and God allowed my motorcycle to be stolen. So he was complaining to Brother Mayhew that his motorcycle got stolen. I hope I haven't identified the country by saying that. But Brother Mayhew said, so where did you leave the Lord Jesus? He got that way. Didn't say another word. Brethren, we take the Lord Jesus wherever we go. You know, that challenges me about where I go. We take the Lord Jesus with us wherever we go. So we are in the sanctuary wherever we are. The scripture says, let your words be few, doesn't it? It's going to challenge how much we speak and what we speak. Let's go on. So the wave breast was the love of the Lord brought before God and shared, so to speak, with God, enjoyed with God. Because the Father enjoys the love of the Son. And the Son enjoys the love of the Father. And we are, so to speak, given an opportunity to come into what they are enjoying. You know, one of the things I enjoy about John chapter 17, we often call it his high priestly prayer. But we are given an opportunity when we look at John 17 to hear the Son telling the Father of how he had done the work that he had given him here on this earth. We are allowed to listen in on a report from God the Son to God the Father. Now, how would you feel you had an opportunity to listen to a discussion from Prince Charles and Queen Elizabeth? Now, some of us would feel honored. Yeah, we should feel honored. But here it is. God the Son is speaking to God the Father. And we are given a chance to hear that report. What a wonderful thing. We are in his presence every moment of the day. We do not put on a priestly garb and then we become priests. And then take it off and you become whatever. You are always, ever priests before God and in the sanctuary. Now we come to the other thing in Leviticus, and that is verse 32. Sorry, verse 31, let's finish this. The priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. Excuse me. He among Aaron's sons that offered the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. We spoke of the wave breast and it speaks of the love of the Lord Jesus. But now he comes to the right shoulder, which is called the heave shoulder. I'm very glad I didn't see any heaving in that place to which I was invited, where they were having the waving thing, because I know I'd be running out. Nobody's going to grab me and throw me in the air. It was the right shoulder. And the right shoulder speaks of power. The Lord Jesus, by the finger of God, dealt with Egypt. When the lice came out, they said, this is the finger of God. Not the hand. The finger of God. That was power. They could not imitate that. The devil cannot imitate that. That is bringing forth lice. And he said, this is the finger of God. But when it comes to the world, by his hands, he made the world. But when it comes to my salvation, his life was given. He gave himself. And the finger of God represents power. The right shoulder, there's even greater power. The Lord says that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Now they ask, who can forgive sins but God? That's true. But what they didn't realize was, in their very presence was God himself. When the widow of Nain's son was raised, they said, God has visited his people. That was power. That was power manifested. And the power of Christ, his power that he has shown us in defeating the devil, this we also bring before God. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the power, the right shoulder, the power of Christ. We bring before God what we understand and enjoy of the power of Christ, and we also appropriate it to ourselves. You see, I cannot give greater than God I have been able to appropriate. We come back to the thought of the handful. That priest had to be able to lift that shoulder up and bring it up before God. And he, in doing this, shared, so to speak, with God the power of Christ. And he himself had an opportunity to enjoy it. And where was this Eden? In the sanctuary. Brethren, every day, God wants us to enjoy the love of Christ and the power of Christ. We read, I think there's another hymn that says, the power of the Creator gives glory to thy name. The love of the Redeemer enhances all thy fame. Creator and Redeemer, Almighty Savior God, the power and love that saved us, forever be adored. Amen. Now, I'm just going to mention two other things and then get on to the application of these things. The first has to do with the sin offering. And in Leviticus 10, when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire to the Lord, there was a sin offering that was burnt. And Moses was not happy with Aaron. He said it should have been eaten in the holy place. And what Moses was telling Aaron was, as the high priest, you should have come to the point where you, so to speak, suffer with the children of Israel as well as your sons. And I think that the eating of the sin offering really comes before us in Galatians 6:1 and also in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then I see if I can quote Galatians 6:1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the verse that I'm looking for is verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. It is support for each other. You know, dear brethren, there's a little verse that goes, to dwell above with those we love, that will indeed be glory. To dwell below with those we know, that is another story. And sometimes we have roast brethren for dinner. And I don't know if it's cranberry sauce or applesauce that we eat with it, but it goes down sometimes very well. And one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. A believer gets into difficulty We are all priests, and we have to eat the sin offering. We cannot just watch a member of the body, so to speak, get atrophied and not rush to its aid. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. I remember my dad liked to tell us, tongue and teeth live in the same house. And sometimes they do have difficulties. But let something stick in your teeth. Your tongue moves across there very quickly to help it out. If a person be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves, lest ye also be tempted. Enough for that. The table of showbread had 12 loaves on it. And those loaves represented the tribes of the children of Israel. They were all made and they were brought hot before the Lord. It was called bread of the presence. And the Lord looked down on that bread. It was on the table of showbread, supported, so to speak, by that which represented Christ. And God enjoyed that bread. And afterwards, the priests had the opportunity to eat of that same bread that God enjoyed in the sanctuary. Brethren, God wants us to enjoy what he enjoys. All that Christ has done. All that is supported, so to speak, by the person of the Christ. And by his work, he wants us to enjoy. He has enjoyed it. He is enjoying it. And he wants us to enjoy it as well. Don't let us wait until we come to heaven. I think it was a brother who asked earlier today, which of us has read Ezekiel? And I could put up my hand pretty high because I'm reading Ezekiel right now. But that's not the reason. Don't let us wait until we get to heaven to start enjoying Christ. Now is the time. Because the measure in which we enjoy him down here, that is the measure that we are going to be available to us when we get to heaven. It won't be learning time. It will be enjoyment time. Now is learning time. Let us learn now and enjoy later and fully enjoy later. In these offerings, God got his portion first. Meal offering, wave offering, sin offering, all of these, God got his portion first. But then each of us, each of the priests, had an opportunity to feast on that which was available for him. Each of us have the opportunity to feast on that which is available for us, that God has made available in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this brings us to an interesting point. When we notice in 1 Peter that you're born into the priestly family, the first thing it told us there was of holy priesthood. New birth, chapter 1, verse 23. Holy priesthood, chapter 2, verse 5. Why is this? Because it's in the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, we function as holy priests. Those who were of the priesthood ate of the things that were at the altar. But then it says, those who dealt with the things of the temple were ate of the things which were, partook of the things which were of the temple. And there are two different thoughts there. The latter is holy, the first is holy priesthood, taken of the things of the altar. But royal priesthood is speaking of the things of the temple. And we want to touch on the two of these in that order. First, royal priesthood. In the sanctuary, when we go in, and when we are in the sanctuary, we are functioning as holy priests. But we carry the sanctuary with us wherever we go. We are never out of the sanctuary. The children of Israel did it in a very physical way. We have the spiritual truth in relation to this, so that we can be in Egypt and in the wilderness, and in the land, and in the sanctuary, all at the same time. And in each area, in each position, we function according and eat of what God has provided in those areas. I want to say this slowly. The sanctuary, eating of the food of the priest, is to strengthen us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So it is to strengthen us to function in the sanctuary. Verse 2 comes before verse 5. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And then he says, as a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, acceptable by Jesus Christ. So first of all, we need to feed. You can't take the food of the priest and say, later for that, and then expect to function. But he strengthens us. We have spiritual strength available to us. Fellowship with divine persons. And then we are able to share what God is sharing with us, we can share back with him. Indicating that we have appropriated, taken possession of it. But then, we have to come out. You know, they had hermits in the old days, and I think they still have some now. And then you had not only hermits, but you had those that were mystics. Hermits represent those that hide out in a far place, out in the wilderness. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 24. I'm just going to borrow that from there to make the point that I want to make. Matthew 24, he says, behold, in verse 26, he says, behold, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. That's the hermit. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. That's the mystic. Now, we got a lot of those about the place. There are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they think that the only place, or they say they believe in the Lord Jesus, let me say that, and the only place that they can function is away out in a monastery, hidden away from people. God has never called his people to be hiding. Or they think that they have to be in a secret chamber and just sit down and meditate all day. That's not it. Neither a mystic nor a hermit. We go in to come out. We are in the sanctuary to come out and show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why Ephesians tells us in chapter 5 and verse 2, walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love not only to those that are without, because Romans tells us we owe no man anything but to love one another. But walk in love to each other. Story is told of Lord Nelson. I don't know how true it is. But it says that he saw two sailors fighting each other. And he knocked their heads together, turned them away from each other and pointed them, says the enemy is over there, fight them. Now the reason why I say I don't know how true it is, because Nelson had one arm. But the point I want to make is, walk in love to each other. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed, if you have love one to another. That's where the love starts. The scripture tells us the love of God is shed abroad. It's not cloaked up, hidden. It is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And he is the power by which we love one another. That old couplet is true. To dwell below with those we know, that's another story. But it's the love of God that helps us. We have to have love one to another. How can we have love? We have to feast on the food of the priests. The Christ in glory. The risen Christ. Christ that God enjoys. We have to feast on that food so that we can have love one to another. We can manifest love one to another. So, in the sanctuary is our privilege. It's our privilege. God has brought us there. God has given us life that we may live in the sanctuary. But then there's a responsibility that is concurrent with that, coming out in royal priesthood, to show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And one little point before I close. How do we function as royal priests. You see, I can stay here, and if the door is open, I can see people passing. And from their dress, I can say something about them. When I used to teach, someone was talking about the pants that we're down below here. I had one occasion where one young man came into me and displayed all his boxers. I told him, listen to me carefully. You see my chair there? Don't put your boxers on my chair. You go outside and dress yourself and come back in. Well, he was offended. Well, I had one trick up that he didn't know. I called his mother. And when he came in, I called his mother and asked her, do you send your son to school to show me his boxers? And she got really angry. I said, no, hold a second. Let me put you on speakerphone so that he can hear what you're saying. And you can ask him why it is that he has done that. She said to him, you let him get home. End of discussion. How we dress is a demonstration of the kind of behavior that we want to show. And God has a dress for us. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, he says in verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go out as royal priests, this is what we display, the virtues of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, displaying Christ. But also, and Brother Brian, I think, mentioned this, there are two things I want to speak to and close. You have teaching priests. Ezra prepared his heart to learn the law, to do it, and to teach it. Brethren, there's a work for the sisters, the older sisters. There's a work for the younger sisters. There's a work for the young men. There's a work for the older men. Everybody, every priest has a work cut out for him. There's teaching priests. But also there's intercessory work. Job was told, in fact, Job's friends were told that God was not pleased with them, but Job was going to pray for them. There's an intercessory work for those who are priests. Dear brother and sister, God has his work cut out for you, but he has the food for you to eat to be strengthened for that work. So, let us then be up and doing. God has given us the food. He has brought us into a privilege of being holy priesthood, to be in the sanctuary, in the very presence of God. And this little point I want to use to indicate this. Do you know where the tabernacle was placed? When it was traveling, it was in the middle of the company. And when it was resting, it was in the middle of the company. That's the place where the Lord Jesus occupies. That's the place where the priests went in and functioned. In the midst of the tribes, in the midst of the company. And the Lord Jesus, he is in the midst. And we focus our attention on him because that's where our work is. That's where our privilege is. That's where our work is. And from here, there, we go out to function before God as royal priests. The food of the priests is to strengthen for the work of the priests. And if you're not strengthened through the work of the priests, check your larder. See what you have in your fridge. See what you're eating. See what you're partaking of. Because God has given it. It's all available right here. Brethren, let's eat the food of the priests and function first of all before God as holy priests, and then function for him, showing forth the virtues of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us function for him. For his name's sake, amen.